Good morning. As we discussed last week, we were going through the sugya of kinyan kesef. If you pay for an item, if you pay for something, when you're dealing with karka, it is a kinyan, it's yours. Even a token payment, you pay one pruta, the entire multi-million dollar property now belongs to you. When it comes to metaltalin, movable objects, although midaraisa kesef should be a kinyan, nevertheless, chazal took off that kinyan, nisruf chitecha ba'aliyah, and instead there's only a mishapara. Either party has the right to back out, but it's usher to do so, and Bezin gives him a klalo, mishapara me'anche dar amabel, hu yifram mimish einoy oimid b'diburoy, so certainly not a good thing, but the parties do have the legal right to back out. Now, going back to our sugya, so if your person buys something, he pays for it, even a token payment, by karka, the kinyan is done, the property belongs to him. The Gemara makes a very important tanai. And that is, kinyan kesef works in a place where you buy something, you pay for it, it's yours. However, when the norm is, you buy a piece of real estate, you don't just pay $6 million and take possession. It's an astra de kosvi shtara. Everyone insists on having a shtar, having a contract, having a deed to transfer the title. So in such a case, people are not soimach das. Even if you pay for the property, even if you pay the entire purchase price, nevertheless, we're going to assume that there was no intent to make a kinyan because you wait until you have it. It's an asur d'kashri star. Star, you don't rely, you're not confident that it's actually yours until you have the security of having a star. If you give the money before the shtar, there's no kinyan, and either party has the right to back out. The buyer or the seller can say, we changed my mind, here's your money back, or the buyer can say, you know, I want a full refund, because even though kesef should be a kinyan, asur d'kashri shtara, it is not going to work. Okay, so hold on. We'll get to deeds and we'll get to laws in a moment. First, we're just dealing with Asher Dekashir Shtara. That was the norm, and therefore, there's no Smichas Das. Now, there is, actually, it's one point which is discussed in the Rishonim, which will shed a little bit light on your case, is what kind of Shtar are we talking about? We all know if you want to buy real estate, so there's a Kinyan Kesef, that's what we've been discussing. Paying for it is a way to buy it, to acquire it. Another Kinyan is Shtar. You write a shtar, I'm selling you my field, you sign it, hand it over to the person, the property now belongs to the buyer. So when we say that in a place where the norm is to write a shtar, you don't own it until you actually have the shtar, even though you've paid for it, are we talking about a shtar kinyan or a shtar raya? So this is machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say it's talking about a shtar kinyan. That when the place, the norm is to be kinyan with a shtar kinyan, even though for some reason you paid right away, still until you make that kinyan shtar, it doesn't belong to you. However, if you normally do not buy things with a shtar kinyan, the fact that you usually write a shtar raya afterwards is irrelevant. Kesef is the kinyan, the raya, whenever you get around to it, you'll write it. The Ran and Halacha L'maisa, this seems to be the conclusion of Shulchan Aruch, says no. Even if they did not typically transfer items with a shtar kinyan, nevertheless, if you normally, when you bought a property, you spend $5 million on the property, you're going to get a shtar raya on this. Until you get that shtar raya, there's no complete smichas das, and you don't transfer the item. Now, there's a technical problem with this. Because if we're talking about a shtar raya, so when you pay for it, is that a good kinyan? No. Asur d'kashri shtara, we're saying the kinyan doesn't work. The next day or the next week, the lawyers finally hash out the language of the contract. They sign the shtar. But the shtar is not a kinyan either. It's a shtar raya. It's not a shtar kinyan. So how in the world do you actually become the owner of the property? So what the Rishonim explained is that what happens is like this. When you pay for it, that's the kinyan. But it's al tanai. It's mitzvah tali. It depends. When you go ahead, if you finalize and execute a shtar, then lemafreya, from the time that you paid for it, it will become yours. Mashein kein, in a place where they normally use a shtar kinyan, there it's different. Their payment is nothing. When you write the shtar kinyan, then it becomes yours. But if the norm is it's just to use a shtar raya, so then in the moment you pay for it, that's when the actual maisa kinyan happens. it's al tanai, and it's only chal when ultimately a shtar is written. If for some reason the party says, I'm not signing a shtar, and it doesn't happen, then it's batel, and or until then, anyone would have the right to back out. Love dafka. Love dafka. I mean, if he wants to, he can sell it to them. And obviously, if he doesn't sell it to them, he'll have to pay the Yerushim back, refund the money that he got from them. But otherwise not. Now, there's an asivus that says, what happens if the moicher is trying to unload a terrible property? It's a swamp, you know, it's wetlands, it's a terrible piece of property. The asivus says the same halacha will apply. Although, you know, we'll see in other places in Hilchos Kinyanim, when it's a moichel, if your moichel sad of ne'rasa, if it's a bad field that you're trying to unload, you want to get it off your hands as quickly as possible, certain conditions are relaxed. Here, what's this halacha? Who's this halacha protecting? The buyer or the seller? It's protecting the buyer. He paid for it already. Until he has a contract to prove it, he's not saying mechdas. So if he's buying a bad field, then certainly he's not in no rush to consummate the kinyan. And therefore, here too as well, until a shtar is written, either party can back out. Ber Yitzchak argues. And the Ber Yitzchak says, if it's a moicher sadu p'nei ra'asai, in that case, this halacha will not apply. By paying for it, the kinyan is chal. And the pshat seems to be, is that if the buyer knows the seller is desperately trying to unload this field, he's saimich das as soon as he pays for it, because he knows the seller wants out, he wants nothing to do with this, he's not going to change his mind. Getting the contract, getting a shtar will not be a problem. So in that case, he's saimich das right away, and as soon as he pays for it, it's going to be his. Correct. Now, because we're dealing with smichas das, everyone agrees you can waive this. If a person, even in a place where it's an asur the kasvi shtara, where no one buys real estate without a formal contract, if you're in a rush, you want to consummate the deal, you say, here's your 2 cents, we now have a kinyan, I own the entire portfolio, you have every right to do so. Because this is just a svara, it's not a gzeir sakasiv, it's not an isser or a mitzvah, it's a svara. You're not soymich das until you get the contract. If you say specifically, I'm okay, I don't mind, I am saying das, I am buying it, then that certainly will work. The Chazon Ish makes a very interesting point. He says, "What? Let's take a step back and think what's really happening here. You're buying the portfolio, putting down $6 million cash. Really? That should be a kinyan. It should be yours. What's the problem? Since everyone here writes a shtar, they're not comfortable that the deal is done until they have they're holding an executed contract in their hands, you're not saying mechdas. What in the world does the buyer gain by this? Because he's not saying mechdas, what's going to happen? The kinyan didn't chal. So where does that leave the buyer? In a better position or a worse position? In a worse position, because either way, the seller has his money. And either way, if the seller wants to deny it, say, I never met you in my life, I don't know what you're talking about, I never took money from you, the buyer's up the creek. So what does he gain? So if it would be a kinyan, he'd own the property. Now that we're saying you're not samech das, so now he has nothing. He doesn't have the money, he doesn't have the property. What in the world is he gaining? But what does that help him? The buyer doesn't want to back out. The buyer wants to buy the property. Elamai, he's afraid the seller can disappear or can deny it, he can lie, he can say that we never had a deal, I never accepted the money, he can do something. He can still do that. So what do we gain by destroying the kinyan and letting everyone back out? So Chazon Ish first says, Ein hachnami, you're right. The buyer gains absolutely nothing from the fact that he's not Tzaymech Das. But this is not some rational calculation. The buyer says, here's $6 million, just give it to you without aid, just take it. But he has in the back of his mind, I'm not going to be a Tzaymech Das, and therefore I'm... Of course not. He'd be better off if there would be a kinyan. But the Chazon Ish says, Chazal will tell you a fact. When you give over the money, you are not Tzaymech Das. If you're not Tzaymech Das, you end up in a weak position. So the point is not you make a risk-benefit analysis and say, I am better off without a kinyan. You're certainly better off with a kinyan. But the bottom line is, since this is everyone in this area requires a contract, a shtar, until you get that, you're not saying, so you end up in a terrible position, And before you plunk down $6 million on a piece of real estate with Adar Shtar, it's a silly thing to do. He's hopeful, he's optimistic, but Gemira's Das for a level of Kenyan, that's the level of security you're not going to have. That's the Chazon Yishuv's first pshat. He's medayik for not like this. So he ends up saying also a very interesting psychological part. He says, psychologically, it's a lot easier for a person to do hafkoyes alva than to steal money. If a person purchases the property, he pays the $6 million, and let's assume there's a real Kenyan. In that case, the money belongs to the seller. It's his. Now, he has an obligation to deliver the real estate to the buyer. When you buy something, you pay for it, you very often, sellers will play games, and they'll be more hector. The delivery is not going to happen so fast. Certainly, he has a chiyuv too, it's usur, but it may or may not happen. If assuming there's no mekach, then this $6 million that you handed him is not his. He's essentially holding it in escrow. He's a shomer, it's a pikadon that he's holding on to until the kenyan takes place. Until then, there's no kenyan. The money belongs to the buyer. To go ahead and take this stack of $100 bills and take it belongs to the buyer before the kenyan is made and just put it in your pocket, that already is a maisik zela. It's not just failure to deliver. It's going ahead and taking money that doesn't belong to you. The Chazon Yishuv says that people are not so quick to do, and that's why the buyer is better off without a kenyan than with a kenyan. Again, this is the Chazon Yishuv's havana Chazal's vinyard the Seif Daitzim, that there's a benefit, there's a difference in hafkois halva, we're not delivering something that was bought, than actually going ahead and taking money that doesn't belong to you. Now, in any of these cases, if you pay for the property, it's an asur d'kashri shtara, so the kenyan does not take effect. If someone wants to back out, so there's a tremendous machlokes, it's really a machlokes in the Rishonim and in the Chronim as well. Are you allowed to back out? Or is there a mishapar? Now, what's the question? By karka, we said, you normally pay for it, it's yours. The kenyan is done. By metaltalin, you pay for it. Midarais is a kenyan. Chazal were worried of Nisr Fukitech Baaliyah, they took off the kenyan, but said whoever wants to back out is going to have a mishapar. What about by karka? Did Chazal make a similar halacha? Now, obviously, there's no Nisr Fukitech Baaliyah. We're not worried that the field is going to burn down. The fields don't burn. But nevertheless, did Chazal say that whenever you give money and for some reason the kenyan doesn't work, if you back out this mishapara? Or is it specifically a takana by betaltalin where they took it off because where Chazal took off the kenyan, made a rice as a kenyan, Chazal said no, there they made a mishapara. But karka, the reason why there's no kenyan is not because Chazal came along and made a takana. The reason why there's no kenyan is because the buyer is not tzemach das because he doesn't have a shtar in his hand. Perhaps that will be different. Now this is a tremendous machlokes. The Mishkan Nes Yaakov says that Roiv Rishonim hold there is mishapara, and that is his maskana halacha l'maisa. Piskei Tshuva seems to go with that. That in any of these cases, if someone wants to back out, they technically could, but they are subject to mishapara. Mishpat Shalom, on the other hand, brings shitas that hold not like that, and he is noita more that it's a seka dedina, and you cannot give a mishapara misafik. Again, midei sveka loy nafka. So this brings us now to probably the most common shaila halacha l'maisa. If you buy a piece of real estate today, is it an asur d'kashvi shtara or not? So how many people here have bought real estate without signing a document? Probably none. It clearly is an asur d'kashvi shtara. And if for some reason you are so inclined to give the fellow behind you in shul $6 million for a property without getting any document in exchange, that halacha would not be a kenyan, and the parties would be able to be chayzer. Yes, mishapara, no mishapara, but certainly the kenyan would not be completed. But what if you actually sit down, you write a shtar? You go to your local dayan, and he writes a shtar kenyan for you. You pay in full, you get a shtar. Is the deal now done? Yes or no?
What's a deed transfer also?
No. No deed. So the question is, what happens? You gave the money. You wrote a shtar kinyan following every one of Hilchus Kinyanim, but you didn't bother actually recording a deed. in the government office. Is that ma'akiv the kinyan or not? Oh, very good. So what the overwhelming majority of Achroinim say is that yes, the same way when an asur dekasvi shtara, if the norm is to write a shtar, until you have a written shtar, there's no smichas das, and even though you paid every dime, the kinyan will not be chal. Hu hadin, if you pay the money, you write a shtar, but you haven't transferred the deed, afal pikein, the kinyan will not be chal. Okay, very good, very good. Very good, very good. Okay, we'll get there. Rabbi Yashiv says this as far, we'll get there in a moment. So most Achroinim say that today, where besides the payment, and besides for perhaps a Shtar Kinyan, people are makbid until it's recorded, until it's recorded, they're not Tzaymich Das. Therefore, if you don't record it, there the Kinyan will not be consummated. And therefore, if you have a case, you have a what we'll call a yeshivish, a transaction, for some reason money is paid, they sign all the agreements in the world, but they don't record it for whatever reasons they're doing, they don't want to pay the transfer, realty transfer tax. If it's not recorded, according to most Achroinim, it will not have any, will not have any tokif. Now, based on that, the Gros Moshe writes, when you're selling your chametz, so when you sell the chametz, very often what you want to do is, you also want to sell the property to the goy, and either so it's in his chatzer, you want to use kinyan agav, etc. Now, I've never yet seen a rav, after he sells the chametz to the goy, goes ahead and goes to the township, the clerk's office, county clerk, and start recording that everyone sold a room in their house to the goy. Oh, excellent. Zakhli Igris Moshe, you should be makbid dafka only to rent it to him. Because this idea of asur dekasvi shtar is when you sell real estate. You don't sell real estate without a shtar. A lease, it's mefurish in halacha, there's no such kpeda. People will lease properties certainly even without a shtar is brought down, but certainly it's you can lease properties without recording that. You don't record it in the deed when you're leasing a property. And therefore, the Gros Moshe writes, when you sell chametz and you're selling the property, make sure not to sell it to him, just lease it to the goy in order to avoid this problem. So again, to go back, if you in place where they write a shtar, even though you paid for it, the kinyan is not chal, by a deed where they talk about the tabu, which is the equivalent of a recording, there most achroinim say that it will not be chal until you do that reshima, and therefore, even though you make a shtar kinyan, if it was never recorded, it is not chal. Now, this comes up a little bit too often in Dinei Torah. So now, although most achroinim say that reshima b'tabu is ma'akev, there are two important caveats, or two important shitas that you'll have to take into account. The first is Rabbi Yashiv makes the point that the Rebbe was making, and that is that in a chanami, if the minhug is that until you record it, it means nothing. So then, until it's recorded, nothing happened. Even though you've paid in full, even though you're in a shtar, as long as it's not recorded, no, the transfer actually didn't take place. However, Rabbi Yashiv writes that in Eretz Yisrael, that's not true. When a person buys a property, certainly the last step is to record the deed. However, if you sign a contract where you sign a contract, you will buy the property or you will sell the property. Or if they go to a closing, there's a certain period of time. There's a closing, sits at the title company. After the closing, the title company takes the deed, generally within a few hours, will go to the county clerk and record the title. Now, what happens if after the closing, but before the title company made it to the government office, the buyer decides, I changed my mind, I want my money back? Could he get his money back? Absolutely not. The kinyan took place. Now, it's true, between this time, and we have seen this, if between the closing and when the title company makes it to the government to record it, someone else comes and buys it again, sells it again, or I've seen cases where someone ran in between and put a lien on the property, then good. He's there first, depending on the state, depending on the rules. He may have a claim against the property. But the closing itself, when there's a shtar, even legally, it has tremendous taikif. If it's not recorded, it means if there's an innocent third party, because it wasn't recorded, that innocent third party might have a priority claim. But there's no law that until the deed is recorded, it's like nothing happened, and the buyer and seller can just say, we never had a deal, I'm changing my mind. And therefore, Rabbi Yashiv writes that even though it's certainly the norm is to record the deed, that means ultimately you'll record it. But it's incorrect to say that until it's recorded, there's no transfer, nothing happened, it's not binding. And therefore, he says, if you do write a shtar, even though you haven't gotten to a deed or being recorded, it still will have some taken. So this is the first point that Rabbi Yashiv makes, that just even legally, you do not need recording for the kinyan to be consummated. The second point is the Chazon Ish has a very different outlook on these inyanim. Chazon Ish has a tremendous chiddush. Chazon Ish goes through this issue, and he says like this: Al pi halacha, what do you have to do to transfer a property? You make a kinyan, you pay for it, you make a shtar, you write a shtar, the deal is done. Now, the government made a new rule that until it's recorded, they're not going to recognize this kinyan. Zag the Chazon Ish. So what? The government has their rules. Halacha Chayshim Mishpat follows our rules, and we don't really care what a court will do in the absence of a recorded deed. I dina malchus adina. So Chazon Ish says no. He says dina malchus adina is when it comes to paying taxes, where the government has some vested interest. Here it's a private dispute between Reuven and Shimon. One lives on 2 meir sharim, the other lives on 4 meir sharim. The government couldn't care less whether they follow the rules of the government or they go to Beis Din and deal with halacha. It doesn't concern them. And therefore, the Chazon Ish says, in such a case, there's no dina malchus adina. Now, just for clarity, this tshuva was written in approximately 1946, under the British mandate. It was before the Israeli government. And he totally, totally ignores dina malchus adina because he says that it's a private matter between two yidden. He adds that, in practically speaking, you buy a property. He says you should not buy a property unless you know the seller well enough that you trust him, because if he sells it, he can sell it to as many people as he wants. And if the first person that can show a valid shtar kinyan will win, even though it was never recorded. So he says you have to be very careful. You have to look into, ask around, and see if anyone else bought this property, because otherwise you cannot rely on a deed. If someone made a kinyan, even though he didn't record it, you buy it now and someone comes tomorrow to Beis Din and shows, I bought it 3 weeks ago with a valid shtar, Chazon Ish says the second buyer is going to lose, and he's going to have to go after the seller to try to recover his money. Now, what happened to this halacha? This halacha is mefurish that even though you made a shtar, you paid for it, it's a kinyan. If the norm is you're not saying das until there's a kinyan, until there's a shtar, kesef doesn't work. Why is this different? So in the area, Chazon Ish adds another chiddush. He says this halacha is a takanos chazal. It's not a norm, it's a takanos chazal. Where you normally write a shtar, kesef is not going to work. So the Chazon Ish, if it's only a takano, you can't add to it. Takano was where you write a shtar raya, the kinyan kesef doesn't work. Over here, where recording a deed is not. People write their shtaris, people write other shtaris. You can write a shtar kinyan, you can write a shtar raya. There's this new government requirement. You have to record a deed. We can't create a new takano that until you record a deed, kinyanim or not kinyanim. And therefore, the Chazon Ish halacha lamaisa rules that you make if a person sells it with a shtar, with a regular kinyan kesef, kinyan shtar, even though it's not recorded, still the kinyan will be valid. And anyone who comes afterwards, even an innocent third party, is up the creek. Now, this is a tremendous chiddush. I believe not all of the Batei Din, do not go with this Chazon Ish. They will apply the Ramah, that in Dina Malchus Adina, in a case where it is L'Tayves Bnei HaMedina, where it's needed, you can't do commerce, you can't buy and sell real estate without some sort of central depository of information, some sort of formal recording. It certainly be Mei Chazal. All you had to do is whenever there was a mekach, there were edim, there was a kol, you ask around in shul, you'll find out very quickly whether it was bought or sold. Today, that's certainly not going to work. So I believe all but they assume dina malchus adina will apply. And certainly with respect to an innocent third party, if you sell it and you don't record it and someone else comes and buys it, that the person who records it first will get it. Again, internally between the two people, if there's no third party involved, there already Rabbi Yashiv's point is very mistaver true today, that it's a kinyan, it just has to be recorded to be finalized. But when you're dealing with an innocent third party, there I think it's a case of where normative halacha is to apply dina malchus to dina and to look very much at the deeds. Correct. Every dina malchus to dina, you always have two arguments. First of all, dina malchus to dina, we're going to listen to it because this is the rule of the malchus. Second of all, even in cases where it doesn't meet the requirements of dina malchus to dina, if the fact that this is the law creates the standard practice, the minhag ha-seichrim, then that itself will be an argument. Correct. You know, it's even if you don't want to use dina malchus adina, it is a very reasonable argument to make that today in Eretz Yisrael, again, at times the British mandate, I don't know, you know, what people were doing and whether they were going to the British courts when they were selling properties. But today, where this is how commerce is done, in Echanami, it's a very good argument that today, even the Chazon Ish would agree this became a minhag ha-seichrim, and once this is a minhag ha-seichrim, it's not chal until then. In Echanami. Okay, just to briefly start the next issue, is we've been talking until now about you pay for a property, it's yours. And we said a token payment is enough. You give your 2 cents, and as long as it's done as a kinyan, that you can acquire the entire $50 million portfolio. This leads us to another issue, and that is, what happens if you buy something and you give a deposit? You sign a contract on a piece of property and give 10% down. Now, as we said before, you do not need a full payment in order for it to be a kinyan. A prut is enough. What is the effect of a down payment? Certainly it's more than 2 cents. But the question that comes up is, when you give a down payment, what's actually happening? Are you buying the entire property right now? You pay the rest of the money in the future? Or do we say no? Or do we say perhaps you're paying 10%, you only become an owner of 10% of the property? Or perhaps the third option is that nothing happens. This is just there as security to induce you or to force you to actually go through it and eventually close on the deal. But it wasn't done as payment. It wasn't done to consummate the transaction. It's just as security, as a penalty, if you will, if you walk away. And therefore, perhaps there should be no kinyan whatsoever.
But you still keep it.
Perhaps. Again, that will depend on Hilchos HaSmachta, and that we will, Mirtz Hashem, deal with next week.